Hello and welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you like the idea of sustainable weight loss that's both healthy and budget-friendly, our Nutrition for Weight Loss Foundations program is here to help you reach your health goals. With 90% of our participants experiencing weight loss, our program proves that effective long-term weight management doesn't need to be expensive or complicated. We skip the costly prepackaged meals and pills and focus on real food nutrition that's easy to incorporate into your daily routine, helping you feel energized, reducing joint pain, enhancing mental clarity, and of course, losing weight, all without straining your budget or risking your health. Whether you join us online or in person, our flexible classes are designed with your lifestyle in mind. Ready to be part of the success? Classes start the week of May 14th and spots are filling up fast. Reserve yours today at weightandwellness.com/N4WL to feel your best this summer and beyond. Thanks for tuning in to Dishing Up Nutrition and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionists and dietitians from Nutritional Weight and Wellness. We explain the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned for practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through real food nutrition.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. It's great having you listen today because we are going to have fun. Yes. So, you know, each and every week on Dishing Up Nutrition, we bring you information about how what we eat affects your health. Over the past 17 years, we've talked about how your food choices affect your risk of getting heart disease, how your food choices affect your risk of getting cancer. That's kind of interesting to think about that in itself. Mm-hmm. How your food choices affect your brain and your memory and your mental health.
Yes.
So I think our food has to be a little bit better right now. So, you know, we also look at how your food choices affect your hormones, how your food choices affect your blood sugar and your risk of getting type 2 diabetes. So, you know what? I just said it's all about your food choices.
All of the above, yes.
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right. And today we're going to talk about how your food choices also affect your vision and your overall eye health. And I think a lot of people don't think about that at all.
No.
So stop for a minute and think about this. Have you ever thought that what you are eating affects how well you can see? Most people have not made that connection. It's pretty interesting. So our goal today is to help you make that connection.
So I'm Darlene Kvist. I'm a longtime nutritionist. And over the last, 20 years, 40 years, I could almost say 80 years, I've been talking about the harmful effects of eating excess sugar. You know, the harmful effects of eating processed foods and the harmful effects of using refined damaged fats. All those things should be out of your diet. I think many people are getting the message now that processed foods are not heart healthy. Processed foods do not support brain health. Processed foods can upset our digestive system. Processed foods reduce our immune system. And processed foods are making 2/3 of the United States population overweight or obese.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible? Hear those numbers, it's really unbelievable.
So here's a comment from my sister-in-law. She said, when I go to the grocery store, over and over, there's more processed foods. Mm-hmm. She said, it's hard to find real foods now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And a lot of people feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but who has connected? I should have said this a few minutes ago, but who has connected sugar and bad fats to those eye problems?
You know, my clients and friends are always surprised when I tell them, in order to avoid cataracts or slow down the growth of cataracts, as you grow older, you need to reduce the amount of sugar you're eating or cut out eating sugar altogether. If you really think about it, cataracts and cataract surgery, that's not really any fun.
Right.
So we don't want those.
No. In addition to cataract and cataract surgery, very serious vision problems such as macular degeneration can also be connected to your food choices. And this may be new information. Most people believe macular degeneration is either a genetic problem or an age problem. And they actually call it age-related macular degeneration. Which is a mouthful. So, but it's not, we're going to break this down because it's not necessarily related to age.
So this morning we are going to have a very special guest and we're going to have a discussion with Dr. Chris Kenobi, who is the author of a fascinating book about the connection of eye health in our diet. So joining me, and you just heard her voice as our co-host, is Joanne Ryda, who has at least 30 years of experience as a nutritionist, dietitian. She is a true believer in the power of eating real food because eating real food has helped lots of her clients and maybe manage a few of her own personal health issues. You know, Joanne spends her days working individually with clients either on the phone or on Zoom and also teaches a lot of our classes about the benefits of eating real food. So, great having you here, Joanne. I know that you're just filling in this morning, and we're glad you are. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be here.
So introduce our guest a little bit for us.
Yeah, thank you. And I've been looking forward to this show.
Oh, good.
I was looking forward to listen to it, but now I get to be part of it. So before we turn the mic over to Dr. Kenobi, I want to read a supporting statement about his work. Ed Bennett, who is the president of Price Pottinger Nutrition Foundation, said Dr. Kenobi's thesis that macular degeneration is due to dietary causes is well supported by research.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And we don't have a hard time believing that.
No.
some people out there do. But that the diet is a major culprit in the proliferation of not only age-related macular degeneration, but most likely for many other degenerative diseases of civilization as well. So things like everyone knows heart disease, diabetes, cancer, all of those diseases are connected to diet as well.
Well, we know it, but I'm not sure how many other people really truly know it, you know?
Right.
So, you know, we're really big fans of Dr. Kenobi's work because he makes the connection between the standard American diet and to many of the vision problems people are experiencing today.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting, too.
That's right. So, Dr. Kenobi, thank you for joining us today on Dishing Up Nutrition.
We hope you're on the line.
Thank you, Joanna.
Yes.
Thank
you.
Good to be here with you. Thank you.
So you are an ophthalmologist, and you wrote the book Ancestral Dietary Strategy to Prevent and Treat Macular Degeneration.
That's a long title.
It is a long title. It's a very good book, though.
It is.
I've looked through it. So Dr. Kenobi, as you know, this is a radio show about nutrition. So how did you, trained as an ophthalmologist, make the connection between the foods people are eating today and the variety of vision problems that you're dealing with?
Sure. So, well, first again, good morning, Dara, Joanne.
And good morning.
Thank you for having me on your show. I'm glad this is radio because it's early. I'm in Colorado, so I'm an hour behind.
Oh.
And you know, it's nice I'm not on Zoom. I don't have to look right.
Oh, yes, I know.
I'm trying to compete with Albert Einstein for my hairdo this morning.
Oh, no.
Okay, let me get to it. Okay, so let me tell you and your audience that what brought me here really to make this connection between man-made processed nutrient deficient and toxic foods and macular degeneration is my own suffering. And I'll spend 30 seconds hopefully telling you this, is that I suffered with arthritis quite severely, and it's something I'm still working on to this day. But
you're a young man.
Well, yeah. Well, it started when I was about 34. I'm going to turn 60 this month.
And so, really?
But,
wow.
Yeah, but I.
You look good.
Well, thank you. I've been working at it. But anyway, so I had this I had struggled with arthritis for 16 years, and when I was 50 years old, which was, again, almost a decade ago, I learned briefly about the paleo diet. Anyway, I made some changes in my diet, and in something like 8 days, my arthritis was 80% better.
Oh, wow.
And it was just so, if I had time to tell you, this was so incredibly life-changing for me that it sent me down a path of trying to understand nutrition. And what I learned in the next couple of years was, from about 2011 to 2013, I learned a lot about nutrition, but I really didn't understand it until I came across Weston Price's research, who connected these processed foods to all of this degenerative disease, like dental decay and arthritis and cancers and, metabolic disease, essentially. And then, and so that gave me a framework to understand this. And it was in late 2013 when I began to understand, and your audience will probably already know this, that these man-made processed foods, essentially sugars, refined flours, vegetable oils, and trans fats, that these are the foods driving all of this chronic westernized disease, we call it. Now, that really means, that term may not mean a lot to some people, but it really, what it means to us is everything from heart disease, hypertension, stroke, cancers, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, in other words, lipid disorders, visceral obesity, insulin resistance, and, then overweight, obesity, what am I missing? Alzheimer's, dementia, even the autoimmune disorder. So I started understanding that all of these are being driven by processed foods. And so it hit me that could macular degeneration, age-related macular degeneration, be caused by the same thing? And that was 2013. Mm-hmm. And I began to investigate that. And literally it took me about a year and a half. I was still in practice. And by early 2015, I was convinced that hypothesis held water, and I left practice to, investigate this, to research this full time. And we came out with that research in 2016, eventually published a paper, and I started a nonprofit foundation because the hypothesis was supported by the research. And broadly, we looked at 25 nations around the world and their processed food consumption using proxy markers of sugar and vegetable oils, which are huge parts of the processed food components, as you know.
Yeah.
And that research strongly supports the hypothesis. And I will just say that in a nutshell, though, it is processed foods driving age-related macular degeneration.
So, Dr. Kenobi, I have a friend.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sorry.
You can't call me doctor. It's just Chris.
Oh,
I don't let anybody call me Dr. Darn, Joanne.
Okay.
Please call me Chris.
Okay.
I just don't go. I don't let anybody call me doctor.
I was going to call you Chris, and then I thought, oh, no, that's not formal enough.
No, thank you. Call me Chris.
So, Chris, I have a friend that has macular degeneration, and she's being treated at the Mayo Clinic. And I don't think most people understand what it is to begin with. So, a lot of our listeners, they may have heard the term, but they don't know what it is. So, in just a few sentences, explain what it is, because it sounds, from when she describes her treatment, it's pretty horrendous. So,
yes. So, the macula is the central retina. It accounts for our central 10 degrees of vision. When you look at something, that image, whatever you're looking directly at, that image lands on your macula, and the macula allows you to read, to see people's faces, to see stop signs, things like that. And that is unfortunately the part of the eye that tends to degenerate the most, in these conditions. And, let me just say that worldwide today, 8.69% of the people over the age of 50 have macular degeneration. That's 1 in 11 people over the age of 50, and it is around 29 to possibly 32% of the population over age 75. So that is nearly 1 in 3 worldwide are affected with macular degeneration. So it's 196 million people affected this year. But if you want me to go back, I mean, we can talk about this, but historically, this disease was incredibly rare.
Wow. Oh. And that's interesting. We'd love to talk more about that at the other side of our break. So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. And today we are discussing how eating real food supports eye health and good vision with Dr. Chris Kenobi, author of Ancestral Dietary Strategy to Prevent and Treat Macular Degeneration. He has such great information to share, and we will be right back.
Are you wondering or perhaps worried about how you're going to stay healthy during this very stressful time? As many of you have guessed, we recommend eating real food in balance several times a day. And that's easy to say, but challenging to say the least. There's never been a more important time than right now to get your nutrition right. I'd like to suggest signing up for our personalized wellness package of one-on-one appointments with one of our weight and wellness nutritionists or dietitians. That means that could be Joanne.
It could be.
Or one of the other 10 people. So for the month of December, you can save $135 on your package of personalized wellness appointments, and you can get your nutrition back on track. So just call 651-699-3438, or you can go online at Weight and Wellness to sign up.
That's
so
right.
Now we're back talking. I thought.
It was kind of a long break. So we're back talking to Dr. Chris Kenobi. Your book goes into detail about how people ate 100 years ago. And you were just talking about how rare macular degeneration was compared to now. And I remember hearing you speak about 3 years ago. I was so impressed to hear how new the disease of macular degeneration really is. So I think the statement you made today was really important. You said eating right to save your sight is a great rule to live by. And
it affects everything else that you,
it
all
does.
The rest of your health.
And all the other parts of health, exactly. So talk more about how rare that disease is.
Yes. So the incredible thing was when I began to do this research, I knew that when I asked myself back in 2013 if macular degeneration might be driven by man-made processed foods like all this other disease, two things had to be true. One is that the disease had to be rare when we didn't have processed foods, and I didn't really know when that was. And number two really was that the disease would have to increase in prevalence as those foods were consumed, right? And
right.
So I had to investigate the history of macular degeneration, and I had no clue about this because in medicine, this is never taught about any disease.
Right.
And anyway, so when I went back, I literally spent months, Dara and Joanne, investigating just the history of macular degeneration. But in a nutshell, between 1851, when this disease was first discoverable, because ophthalmologists then had ophthalmoscopes and they could begin to see back into the retina, and the next 80 years till about 1930, there was no more than about 50 cases of macular degeneration in all of the world's literature. And believe me,
I've
read so many texts and papers from that era, and this disease was extraordinarily rare. In fact, I think there was far fewer than 50. But anyway, whereas today there's 196 million in the world, right? And so while the population increased fivefold, the elevation in macular degeneration, it literally increased infinitely, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was we got processed foods. And what were those? Again, sugar, refined carbohydrates, refined wheat, mostly in the United States, vegetable oils and trans fats. And those were, you know, we've had sugar in the diet for centuries, but it was really low consumption, until the late 19th century. And then we got refined wheat flour beginning in 1880, which is a nutrient deficient food, and then vegetable oils right after the American Civil War, introduced in 1866, and then trans fats introduced with Crisco Procter & Gamble in 1911. So put those four foods together, and over the next however you want to look at it, over about the next 135 years, by 2009, those four foods, and I use the term loosely, occupied 63% of the American diet. So these foods began to supplant and replace our natural whole foods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this leads to, now you have nutrient deficiency and you have toxicity, and we can talk further about that. But
so, you know, one of the things that I hear, and I've heard this a little bit from, oh, we'll come right back to that. We have to go on another break. Joanne, go ahead.
Okay, so you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. Did our genetics change over the past 100 years, or what has changed? Let's be realistic. One thing that we have to help you out is you can start cooking recipes from our Weight and Wellness Way cookbook and nutrition guide. And for the month of December, we're offering a savings of 15% for this easy-to-use cookbook. And we'll be right back.
Hey, listeners, it's Brittany from Nutrition, Weight, and Wellness. Have you ever thought about the air quality in your home? Americans take 20,000 breaths a day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throats, and even more serious health problems. So what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to do that work. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. I have an Air Doctor at home, and I notice that my house isn't as dusty. And I also take a lot of comfort knowing that the air quality in my house is much healthier for me and my family. If I've piqued your interest, I have a great offer for you. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code DISH, all capitalized, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code DISH.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Dr. Chris Kenobi shared many important health facts in his book, Ancestral Dietary Strategies to Prevent and Treat Macular Degeneration. So I want to share a couple of things that he put in his book that I thought was kind of eye-opening. So more than 20 studies clearly show that elderly people with high cholesterol live longer than older people with low cholesterol. So do we have to be worrying about our cholesterol all the time? And then another one he shared was 9 studies have shown that high cholesterol is not a risk factor for disease or even the arteries in our legs and in our heart. So cholesterol is not a risk factor. And then there were 30 studies that showed that people who had suffered a heart attack or stroke had not eaten more saturated fat than those without heart attacks or strokes. So those are just 3 findings about health and cholesterol and saturated fat that Dr. Kenobi shared in his book. You know, you can't imagine how much work he put into this book.
Right.
I mean, it's incredible.
Right.
And we know how much work it is just putting together a radio show.
Exactly.
Let alone a book like his. So, you know, it's some of the same information that we teach all the time in our classes. And I think a couple of classes that we have that you might be interested in taking is building a better working memory. I think as you get older, everybody's concerned about that. And then right now, another great class is your energy solution, real food. We keep going back to real food all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested, call 651-699-3438 and we'll help you sign up for a class. You don't even have to do all the work. So let's go back to genetics.
Yes.
So You know, that's one of the things, Chris, that I hear all the time from people. Well, it's a genetic problem. I can't do anything about it. So, you know, dig into that a little bit for us and help people understand it's more than genetics.
Yes. Well, so, the orthodox allopathic view has been that macular degeneration is a disease of aging and genetics. And, you know, but if that's the case, then the disease should have had the same prevalence, 100 years ago as it does today, right?
Right. Exactly.
And so let me just say this in broad strokes, the evolutionary biologists have found out that the spontaneous mutation rate for DNA is about 0.5% per million per million years.
Oh wow.
So that means that DNA mutations over 10,000 years, if you start doing the math, is 0.005%. Okay, that means that the DNA mutations over 100 years is 0.00005%.
Wow. Right?
And then four zeros and five. That's how I remember that. Mm-hmm. So it's almost impossible that our DNA has changed at all in the last 100 or even 200 or 300 years, right? And so, the DNA, your architectural blueprint hasn't changed, but what can change is your epigenetics.
Okay.
And that means turning on and turning off genes. And how do you do that? And you do that with food. And how does the food do it? It does it primarily through vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, vitamins and other cofactors, but primarily vitamins. So when you have nutrient deficiencies, for example, then you are affecting the way that your genes are functioning. You're not changing your genetic blueprint, your DNA necessarily, but you're changing the way those genes are turned on or turned off.
So
Chris, did I answer the question?
Yeah, but I've got a little more, Chris. I often hear from clients or people that have macular degeneration is that, yeah, but my mother had it, or my sister had it, or my grandmother had it, so it has to be genetic. I mean, it has to be just in my genes. So how do you go back and say, well, yeah, but, so... Would you go through that maybe again? Because that's the one thing that it's almost like people say, well, it's in my family, so I can't do anything about it.
Yes, and that's definitely a valid question. But the fact is to get right to the meat of this, the way I would answer is I would say that the primary thing that we inherit is our way of eating. And that begins the day you're born or before, really. But
yes.
if you, for example, with these diseases, these chronic diseases like heart disease, Alzheimer's disease, age-related macular degeneration, they don't hardly ever hit people that are 30 or even 35 years old. And so, but if a guy is born and begins to eat processed foods, and he's still not going to, and he consumes those his whole life, he's still not going to have a heart attack until he's maybe 40 or 50 years old, get Alzheimer's until he's maybe 60 plus, and the same for macular degeneration.
Okay.
And I think I lost my train of thought there.
Oh, that's great. You're human.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, I think that explains it very well. It's hard for people to wrap their head around that it is really related to what you're putting in your mouth and getting into your bloodstream, the nutrients and everything. It makes a difference with every part of your health, you know, whether it's your eyes or your heart or your whatever it is.
Okay, let me interject. Now it came back to me.
Okay.
Now my EEG is working again. not flat. So with macular degeneration specifically, we looked at this. And if you put all the data together, if you have all of the worst possible genetics, you put them all together for macular degeneration, you would, on average, develop the wet form of macular degeneration, you know, the worst possible form. Mm-hmm. Something like, I think it was 5.4 years earlier than somebody that had none of the genetic tendencies for macular degeneration. So it's not like somebody with really terrible genetics gets macular degeneration when they're 30 years old, and the people with the good genetics get it when they're 85. That's not the way it works at all. Mm-hmm. And so, again, what we see is that it's really that you're inheriting mostly bad food
habits.
Consumption habits, yes. Mm-hmm. And you sort of inherit those, if you will, from your parents. And you have to recognize that even if you grew up eating processed foods and junk foods, and your mom or dad thought that Crisco was good and vegetable oils are good, because that's the way it is. That's, you know, that's how my parents were, because they bought into this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, right. And so you keep doing the same thing. And now, you know, now all of a sudden you're 20s, 30s, 50s, whatever, and you start getting these diseases. Maybe you're gaining weight and you're developing, you know, the risks for heart disease or whatever, or macular degeneration. And what you really have inherited is that eating pattern. You have to change that.
So, Chris, one of the things that I also hear from clients and friends is, well, you know, we cooked real food when we were growing up, but I know in your book, you kind of zeroed in on about five different foods, and maybe we should talk about that, because, you know, you said white flour.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What does that do? What does white flour do? What is that slice of bread? Let's get it down to, you know, it's that toast that you have in the morning, especially if it's dry toast. You know, how does that maybe break down your health in some way or another?
Right. So if you just take wheat or flour alone, so in the entire world could only have whole grain wheat up until the year 1880. And that year was the year that roller mill technology was introduced. And roller mill technology could shear away the bran and germ of wheat and give us a completely refined white flour. Well, what does that mean? When you shear away the bran and the germ, you're removing the B vitamins, E vitamins, fiber, minerals, omega-3 and omega-6 fats. And what you have is a nutrient-deficient food. And so this contributes to your nutrient deficiencies. And in 1879... we consumed twice as much wheat in the United States as we did 100 years later in 1979. And so these authors that say, well, this is all about wheat. No, I don't really believe it's that wheat in and of itself is mm-hmm. necessarily the problem. It's the right. fact that in the United States today, wheat is about 20% of our diet. It's 20% of the world's diet. And in the United States, 85.3% of that recently was determined to be refined white wheat flour, meaning mm-hmm. that means 17% of the Americans' diet right there is nutrient-deficient food, which is kind of like sugar, just no nutrients. That's right. The big part of it.
So,
interesting.
It is. So, Joanne, maybe Chris could talk a little bit about...
Right. What about the sugar and the high fructose corn syrup? I mean, you talked about white flour being kind of like sugar now, but what about sugar itself and the high fructose corn syrup?
Right. So, I think sugar, I'm not going to defend sugar. Sugar is 21% of the American diet today. If you looked back 300 years ago, it was almost zero. We consumed 20 grams of sugar in 1865 in the United States. And by 1999, we were at the pinnacle of sugar consumption, and it was something like 140 grams per person per day. Wow. In other words, sugar between 1822 and 1999 went up 17-fold. Oh. Sugar is a nutrient-deficient food. There's no micronutrients, no vitamins, no minerals. So here we go. So we've got wheat, 17% of the diet being nutrient deficient. Sugar, 21% of the diet being nutrient deficient. I think that right there is the biggest problem with it. Now, sugar can drive and contribute to metabolic disease, certainly yeah. when the dose is really high, but it has to be really high to get to the level where it's damaging to the liver and so forth and contributing to diabetes.
Well, you know, you say really high, and we have clients who come in that's been drinking 6 Cokes a day or 10 Cokes a day or, mm-hmm. you know, and it's really easy to get to that really high damaging effect of just high fructose corn syrup or sugar.
Oh, gosh. At that level, that's a recipe for disaster. You're yeah. nutrient deficient and you're just severely adding to your risk of metabolic syndrome. And at those levels, if you're drinking that much sugar, that would be potentially severe risk.
So the other one that I think would really interesting and important to talk about is the vegetable oils. I mean, we talk about it all the time over and over on the show, but you know, the soybean oil, the corn oil, the cottonseed, all those. And how does that go about damaging your eyes?
Yes. So there is, let me just say, first of all, I think that Americans, I think the world is obsessed with using oils. And to get to the bottom line here, I am now telling people, I think the easiest thing to do is just eliminate all oils from your diet and use traditional animal fats, which means for most people, just use 100% grass-fed butter for all of your cooking.
We love
everything.
It. We love it.
And so, but the damaging oils, they are, just so people know, they are soybean, corn, canola, cottonseed, rapeseed, grapeseed, sunflower, safflower, and rice bran. You can see I've said this a million times.
Yes.
And but those oils, those account for about 97 to 98% of the oils in the American diet. And you really could almost throw olive oil in there, because 79% of olive oil in the United States is adulterated with these cheap oils. People
yes.
don't know it.
Yes.
They think they're getting good olive oil, and they're not. They're getting adulterated olive oil. And I don't care what the label says. I don't trust hardly any of them. I hate to say it. But, okay,
wow.
The question is what do these do to us? These oils, these contain huge amounts of omega-6 fats. And that omega-6 fat primarily is linoleic acid, 18-carbon omega-6 fat. These fats accumulate in our fats. They accumulate in our cell membranes. They accumulate in our mitochondria, or the powerhouses of the cell. And they are pro-oxidative, meaning they cause oxidation. This is like rusting inside the body, in a sense. They are pro-inflammatory, meaning they drive a severe level of inflammation. They are toxic. We can come back to that. And they are nutrient deficient. They don't have vitamins A, D, and K2 like the healthy animal fats, like butter, for example. All right, so you put all that mixed together, pro-oxidative, pro-inflammatory, toxic, and nutrient deficient. Now you've got the perfect storm, the perfect recipe to maim you to malign your metabolism and to drive all of the diseases of civilization. Ultimately, these seed oils are cytotoxic, meaning they kill cells directly. They're genotoxic, meaning they alter gene function. They're mutagenic, meaning they mutate DNA. Carcinogenic, atherogenic, meaning
wow.
they're inducing atherosclerosis. They are obesogenic, meaning they induce obesity, right? How
yeah.
could it get any worse?
It
and
can't.
What are we told to avoid? Saturated fat.
Exactly.
You know, the one fat, you know, the saturated fat and the monounsaturated fat, like you would get primarily in a good, nice grass-fed steak, those are incredibly healthy. And the polyunsaturated fat, the omega-6 in steak, is extremely low. And I'd give you some numbers if you want.
Okay.
That's
well,
it.
We would
nutshell.
Love to get more of that. As soon as we come back from break.
Chris, you did a great job.
That was amazing. What a mouthful, right? So you are
Thank
listening
you.
To Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. There are 13 essential vitamins that are critical to every human being. And you just mentioned some of those, including fat-soluble vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K, plus all the water-soluble vitamins, all the B vitamins, and vitamin C. So research has found that 34% of the U.S. adult population was below the recommended level for vitamin A, and 74% were below the recommended level for vitamin D. And wild-caught salmon's a good food source for both vitamin A and D. Supplementing with 2 teaspoons of a high-quality cod liver oil and a high-quality vitamin D daily is also recommended. If you have any more questions about any of these vitamins or supplements, they're available at all 7 Twin City Metro locations. So call 651-699-3438. And we will be right back.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. What a great show this is.
Definitely.
So, just welcome back. We're going to continue our conversation. And I think, Joanne, we were going to continue a little bit more questions about fats, right?
A little bit more information about fat. You were talking about the polyunsaturated and hydrogenated and how toxic they are. And did you have any other information to add on that?
Sure. So, yeah. Do we have 4 hours?
I wish.
I wish. Hey, Chris, you're okay. Coming back.
Yeah, we're going to get you back. We haven't gotten through half of what we wanted to talk about today.
I have so much to say. Okay, let me do this very quickly, though. All right. All natural fats have 3 kinds of fats: saturated fat, monounsaturated fat, and polyunsaturated fat. So if you take, for example, a T-bone steak from a grass-fed cow, which is fantastically healthy, by the way, yes. You might have around 46%, somewhere in this range, saturated fat, maybe 52% monounsaturated fat. Realize these numbers vary. They're not the same from animal to animal. And
it depends on what they eat.
Yes, mm-hmm. It depends on what they eat and their age and all kinds of things. So I'm just giving you some ballpark ideas. And that animal might also have about 2% polyunsaturated fat. What is the polyunsaturated fat, or the PUFAs? That is omega-6 and omega-3 together. All right? Now,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, 2%. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. And so now think about this. The seed oils, they could range anywhere from and I'm going to include olive oil here for a moment. They could range anywhere from around 2% total PUFA, or omega-6 and omega-3, up to around 75 or 80% PUFAs, right? So you cannot get all natural foods are very low in the PUFAs.
Yes.
Right? And so, but these vegetable oils, they're not natural. And so on average, you're probably going to get in the range of 30 to 55% PUFAs, or this omega, you know, not quite that high omega-6, but the PUFAs in these vegetable oils. So, for example, soybean oil is 55% PUFA, polyunsaturated fat.
And Chris, why is that a problem?
That is enormous. Yeah, because, so then, if you think about this, if you were only eating healthy raised animal fats, most of those are going to have PUFAs down in the range of around 2%. Whereas if you're getting 30 or 50% of the fat in a vegetable oil being PUFA, now those are accumulating. That omega-6 is accumulating in your fat and in your cells and your cell membranes and your mitochondria. And is, again, we're going back to now it's going to drive this pro-oxidative, pro-inflammatory, toxic effects. And it's going to be destructive to the mitochondrial function. And the mitochondria, your energy powerhouse of the cell, is going to become dysfunctional. And what will happen is that you will begin to lose energy. You'll begin to lose weight. I mean, you'll begin to gain weight because those cells will begin to store that fat because they can't properly burn fats for fuel now. The energy productions will shut down in the cell. That leads to things like cancers, cell death, which leads to neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, macular degeneration. And the metabolic dysfunction leads to insulin resistance, which drives metabolic syndrome, which drives non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, type 2 diabetes. And then the cellular failure leads to heart failure. So again, I'm just go on and on, but the ramifications are just enormous. And this is exactly what's also driving macular degeneration. One of the things in macular degeneration that parallels all these other diseases is they're all tied together by mitochondrial dysfunction, which is driven by too much omega-6 fat. And that's what all these, so again, it's interesting, but why would atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, heart failure, type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, and macular degeneration, why would they have mitochondrial dysfunction? They all have it because they're tied together because omega-6 fats are driving all of this primarily.
Wow, that's great. Wow. So, Chris, I know we only have about 2 minutes, but okay, would you talk about cataracts? Because everyone says that they have to have cataract surgery. You know, I'm 82.
Yes.
And I don't have cataracts yet.
Right.
I'll wait until I'm 100.
Okay, now, I'm going to say that, let me qualify this, because I have not done original research on this and cataracts, but okay, in general, I would say that we do know that things like smoking and type 2 diabetes, drives much earlier cataracts. And so in a sense, cataracts are driven by pro-oxidative, pro-inflammatory effects and nutrient deficiencies as well. So we're kind of coming back to that. So definitely an ancestral diet like you're following, Dar, and I'm sure all of us are following.
Right. Right.
Anyway, though, that is by far the best way to try to prevent cataracts.
And it isn't, not everyone has to have cataracts. I mean, right, that's the other thing that I think people believe, that just as they get older, they have to have cataracts.
Right. And I've always heard a strong sugar connection to cataracts as right, well.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that comes back to the fact that it's going to, you know, the people eating a lot of sugar, they're usually consuming seed oils too, because they're consuming processed foods. Yeah. They go together.
Right.
True.
So you're driving all that at the same time.
Right.
Chris, you have been just a fantastic guest. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you, Joanne and Dar. It's really been an honor and a pleasure.
So our goal is to help each and every person experience better health through eating real food. A simple yet powerful message. Eating real food is life-changing. Thank you for listening. Have a safe and healthy holiday season.
Thanks for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you enjoy this podcast, please share your favorite episodes with a friend or leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or iHeartRadio. The content and opinions expressed are those of the hosts or presenters. They are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Product statements have not been evaluated by the FDA.